you're talking about, well, how would you secure things around your home? What would you look for? I mean, we look at this and it's like, okay, obviously you're going to put somebody there on the roof, or you're going to have that cordoned off or something like that. But then there's a lot of other things that are not so obvious. And how do you execute these things? What do you look for? How do you plan for this? And how do you execute it? That's really what you're trying to explain to people in order to protect their home. Not to protect a president or somebody like that, but just to protect your home, the common sense types of things and real practical examples of how to be able to do it on your own, right?
Yeah, well, my neighborhood group should have been providing security for Trump because we do a better job. I mean, we literally have that type of thing. People on roofs, cordoning off areas. And it's a cooperative effort. And I tell people how to do this from a military standpoint in non-military terms, mm-hmm. which is important because you get into a lot of people that are telling you how to protect this or that. They you'd think they're talking to a bunch of recruits in basic training that have been through basic training, have some idea. It has to be in layman terms. And I've got the A to Z in there. People get involved in go to civildefensemanual.com and look at what is included in this book. They'll be astounded because it virtually gives the A to Z of not only how to prepare, but how to survive if you follow what's going on in the book.
Well, joining us now is Jack Lawson, who has put together these two volumes of Civil Defense Manual that you can find at civildefensemanual.com, subtitled How to Prepare and to Protect Your Neighborhood from Disaster, Riot, and Civil Unrest. We might be at any time looking at any of that stuff. So we want to prepare for the worst case. It used to be people make fun of preppers, no more. And he has amazing information in here. Again, you can find it at civildefensemanual.com. It's written by special ops soldiers and contributing author experts. And joining us now is Jack Lawson. Thank you for joining us. Good to talk to you again.
Good to hear you again, David.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for letting me on your show.
Well, and it's a good time for you to come on because this last week we've had some really crazy violence that happened 6 days ago. What's your take on all of this shooting that happened up in Butler, Pennsylvania?
Well, I'm like everybody. I've got my opinions. I'd like to give people a little bit of my background. I probably am a little more qualified than some people to speak about this. I was in the United States Air Force. I was an electronics person. Had a lot of advanced electronics training to the point to where I was a guidance specialist, and I armed and disarmed the nuclear weapon on the missile I worked on. Then after that, the first thing you've got to do is go from arming nuclear weapons to jumping out of airplanes at 2 a.m. with 40 pounds of explosives on you over some country in Africa you can't spell the name of. I was in a Foreign Legion rapid response anti-terrorist unit, and it was in a nasty war in Africa. I published 4 books and a number of essays. In addition to that, the bottom line, my website is The Civil Defense for the Civil Defense Manual is civildefensemanual.com. There's a lot of free information on there. People can get an overview of the book. I do not sell the Civil Defense Manual on Amazon. Good. Going back to the assassination.
And I would just let me add, you point out you got some free chapters there. One of them on water, which is the key thing. And people can see the chapter on water. And that gives people a good idea of how in-depth and how practical your knowledge is. Then you have another one about surviving nuclear fallout if you're not in the main blast area. Both of those are free. People can get a good idea of the quality of the book. And I've had a lot of people who have written me who got the book talking about how they thought it was worth 10 times the price that they paid for. So, and you have a lot of people besides your experience, you got a lot of people who were special forces soldiers talking about things in their area of expertise as well. So a great resource. But again, I'm sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you there. You were just about to talk about what was happening.
I'm not so egotistical that I think I know everything. When I don't know something, I bring guys like Jerry Emanuelson into it. Jerry Emanuelson is probably one of the foremost experts on electromagnetic pulse events. I have former Navy SEAL officer, Matthew Bracken, a fantastic author, Enemies Foreign and Domestic. He's written my chapter on, he's written a couple chapters for me, one on night fighting without all of these fancy optics. In other words, how to conduct a defense of your home in the middle of the night without having the optics to be able to see at night. So I put those kind of people in. But going back to this assassination, I was never a sniper. I was our battalion marksman winner at one time. And I do know a lot about ballistics. I do know a lot about silenced weapons. I've used all of that stuff. We used it on raids in on camps in neighboring countries that were harboring communist terrorists. Long and short of the thing is, it's difficult now to see whether it's incompetence with the government or deliberate action. It's hard to define the difference. The fact that this woman couldn't holster, the Secret Service agent could not holster her weapon is absolutely beyond me. A true professional knows that just like he knows where his finger is. Yeah. It's incredible. I sat on one of the largest police boards in the United States for 7 years, and I've been involved with issues regarding gender. There are women out there that could literally kick any guy's butt. They can fly a helicopter into places that maybe a guy wouldn't go into, but generally speaking, that's a very small percentage, 1-3%. Women by biology are different in the aspect of most of them don't have the strength or stamina that a male shows. Ask any of the cops that I used to ride around with after they got to know you and knew it wasn't going to come back on them. They will tell you they did not want to have a female partner. Mm-hmm. Case in point, one of my friends was a lieutenant, went to domestic dispute. His 105-pound partner got punched out. He's about 6 foot, 200 pounds. The guy that went crazy on him at this domestic dispute slammed him down against the foundation of the house and ruptured three of his vertebrae.
Wow.
Just as that was happening, of course, a backup came around. They went in because they heard what they thought was going to be a violent situation to the woman in the house. Mm-hmm. So the point being this, and I knew good women that were very, and on the police force, that were very, very capable. It's just that the majority of them, guys don't want to be hooked up with them. They do not seem to have the ability to do the job. And I'm not talking down at women. Like I say, there's good ones out there, but the majority of them, they're lowering the standards to accept them into everything. When you see the commander of a Ranger battalion qualification course carrying the pack of a woman, one of the first graduates of Ranger, what's that? You know, this whole thing is political, getting pushed to the point to where they can't, you're getting people who can't find their holster. Next thing, they won't be able to know where their gun is.
Well, that's DEI, I think the best explanation of that acronym was didn't earn it. You know, and so this was a narrative that was being sold by Hollywood, and everything is being sold by media going back into the 70s, the Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King, that, you know, anything you can do, I can do better, that type of thing. But it's not the case. And we've had that proven to us over and over and over again. by these trannies who want to compete in women's sports. These are guys who can't even qualify in male competition, and they're wiping out all the competition on the female side. And this has happened over and over again in all these different sports. There is a real physical difference, and they want to pretend that that doesn't exist there. And when you get into a combat situation like you're describing in that domestic dispute, you know, there isn't anybody there to, you know, you're not talking about some kind of political agenda anymore. This is about people's lives.
Yeah, a man is going to have a maternal instinct to save a woman. Mm-hmm. My son told me this. He's in combat in Iraq, and no women in the Marine Corps at that time. This is 2003, but he said that they knew it was coming, and they were just very, guys didn't like the idea of it, not because they're guys, but because they don't want disruption of the function of the, whether it's a company or like his scout sniper unit. They don't want the disruption of a woman in there. And I'm not going to go into all that, but mm-hmm. Going back to this thing with Trump, I just talked to his guy who was a security director for him, who's a friend of mine. I talked to him every couple weeks, mm-hmm. and he said that, and I don't think this guy is that extremely religious. He said this was divine intervention. There's no two ways about it. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, my God, I said, you sound like you're going to church again. He said, I believe he is religious in a sense, but he said, that's probably going to make Donald, a little bit more, reluctant to act off the cuff. Mm-hmm. That's a very serious thing, outside of, Trump probably losing his hearing in that ear. You get a crack, a supersonic crack of a bullet that close. I had a friend in Africa who lost all of his hearing in one ear just from a bullet coming within an inch of his ear.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And
well, there hasn't been any talk about that. That's kind of interesting. There hasn't been any talk about that. No, he said it was like a bee buzzing or something like that. Or
It's more than a bee buzzing. Yeah. I've had them snapping around my head, and it's a definite thing, and they talk about you can hear the gun report after you hear the crack. I'll just tell you this. In combat and this situation with Trump, everything is so fluid, and there's so much confusion. In combat, people think it's like the movies, that you can see where things are coming from. Everybody's totally confused. Mm-hmm. It is the best thing you do, try to take some cover and keep from getting yourself shot. But you can eventually locate where your shooter's coming from. But I'm astounded that if he hadn't had, I can't remember whether it's Senator Ron Johnson had a immigration chart he'd given him.
Yeah.
And Trump at the very moment he turned his head about 2 inches to the left is when that bullet would have gone right in his right eye, would have taken his brains out. But the long and short of the thing is I think God had a hand in it, whether it's going to be for the future of this country or just Donald Trump living and being able to go on doing what he's doing. It just blows me away. People must realize at 1,000 yards, if you fire something like a 308, which is a heavier bullet than I believe this guy was firing, and it's got about roughly the same ballistic, you're looking at up to a second and three quarters, 1 3/4 seconds before that bullet leaves the muzzle to where it hits the target. So you have to lead your target. In other words, if the gunman had his target as Donald Trump's head right square in the middle of his crosshairs, and he pulled the trigger, it would have probably been somewhere around a third to a half a second that Trump would have had to stay there for that bullet to impact the center of his face or center of his skull.
Yeah.
And he didn't. Yeah. So tell me, I don't believe this kid was the only shooter. During the JFK assassination, you had the famous Magruder film and you had a couple of photographs. Now everybody records everything on their phone. So I think you're going to start seeing a lot of information coming together. And the bottom line of it is, I think it's going to show that there was somebody else there. There was another shooter. I believe there's a professional there.
Yeah.
I think this kid was just a dumb patsy who was led along, apparently very fanatical about his beliefs. But so there's going to be things coming out.
Yeah, I agree with you. And of course, I don't know if you saw or not, now Congressman Corey Mills, I think he's just put in 2023, won election 2022. He was a former special forces guy, but he had something to do with security and his private consultant job. And so he was talking about all the different things that failed in terms of, you know, protecting the perimeter, identifying places where there was risk and everything. But I think the first thing I showed on Monday was that shot of those guys who were on the roof and how he seemed to take his eye off of the spotter thing there and be kind of slow to respond. I think it's somebody else in that team that was there on the closest roof to Trump. I think it was somebody that was much further away, they said, like 450 yards.
Oh my God, you mean they're on a sloped roof? That's very dangerous.
Yeah, we talked about that as well, yeah.
What a joke.
Exactly.
The roof the counter snipers were on was about twice the slope as the one that kid was on.
So. Yeah. But isn't it, do you find that interesting? The counter snipers seem like they had him in their sights and didn't do anything till
they were told to stand down.
Yeah.
This whole thing, you know, if people can't realize it, you know, if they think that government is there to do them service, then I think they probably failed history class and they should go back to school. It's unbelievable that there's another thing that just amazes me. There's a correspondent out there by the name of Michael Yan who puts this on. He's a photographer too, former Special Forces.
Yeah, I've interviewed Michael Yan.
Yeah, why is there a CNN photographer right in front of Trump with his camera setting on his shutter speed on 1/8,000th of a second? Mm-hmm. That's about the highest you go to get high resolution. Literally a slow motion progression of shots. And why was his camera set? This guy was an absolutely known photographer that would never have done that. He had his camera set at a shutter speed that if that bullet would have hit Trump, he would have had a picture literally for 50 shots of Trump's brain matter going out the back of his skull. It just blows me away that I think there was a profession there, but Trump, I'd like to go gambling with him. I mean, this guy is lucky. There's no two ways about it.
Well, he's lucky with that. He wasn't lucky when he had casinos. He lost six of them.
I don't know how good a business person he is. Right. I think he probably... is pretty darn good. He's got a lot of publicity out, but like he says, you know, it's not what you have, it's how you market it, you know.
He's an excellent marketer, that's for sure. When you look at what is coming up now, the Democrats this weekend, last week they tried to take Trump out. This weekend they're trying to take Biden out. And they may do that. I mean, it is a chaotic situation. I think we're going to have a lot of chaos, a lot of unexpected stuff that's going to be happening between now and the election. And I think it's going to happen regardless of who wins. There's going to be a lot of chaotic, unexpected things that are going to be happening in the next few years, because that's the time that we're in right now. And
I have to say something. Uh-huh, you know, everybody talks about food. I have harped on that. Mm-hmm. People must store food. Well, I just also have to make people realize if you're in a city and your city water supply is providing the water to your house, then you bloody better be stocking up water for emergencies. And why I'm saying that is for this reason. I have been trying to get information out of the area I live in. I know everybody here. To speak of that in a position of power, I can't get an answer out of them as to my simple question is this. If you have a water system that's being pumped into every house and building, and they don't have the chemicals to treat that water, are they going to put the water out? Mm-hmm. I was told by a couple of people here, no, they won't. I said, why? You're going to let people in the Southwest die of thirst? Well, we can't put water into a system and violate federal, state, county, and city regulations. So if we're putting unsafe water out, we'd rather not put water out. I said, so you're going to let people die, even if they could take the water and boil it themselves. As far as I can get the answer, water has now become as fragile and as a disruptible delivery system as food has become.
Wow.
Tell me who's got much more than 7 days food in their house. Very, very few people.
And we've had several reports of municipal water systems that have been hacked. And as we've seen over and over again, you know, the hacking doesn't have to be about the main thing even. If they got some ancillary system on the side, just like we saw Colonial Pipeline, if they hack their accounting system, they're going to shut down, even though they could still pump oil and they could still deliver oil. If they can't track the accounting stuff, they just shut it down. And as you're pointing out, you know, if they were to do something mess with the machinery that's going to be mixing in the chemicals to treat the water and things like that, or if they dump too much of it in or whatever, they just shut the whole thing down and they won't let anybody have any water, not even to be able to filter it with a gravity feed filter. So that's the real issue. You know, people need to be able to if they get a gravity feed water filter, I guess, and identify some natural sources of water, even if it's a pond that you could go to and put through your gravity feed water filter.
We no longer have water wells, open bore whole water wells like Africa. They're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
their primary water system, despite the fact they do have a city system in most parts of the city. But the point being this is that I kind of got like a laugh out of people when I was talking to these people about it. It's like, they have one of them said, well, I don't think we've really even thought about that as a contingency. So, if that's what's going to go on, you better have water and you better have food stored. And we are going to have some tumultuous times. Power outages, I think, are coming within the next couple of years. They're already all over the news about issues with coal fire plants being shut down. Nuclear plants can't handle it. Outages here and there. We've had them here, the last one we had. My wife went to the store and couldn't buy anything because it couldn't run the cash register. Mm-hmm. So what are you supposed to do? You know, there was a pile of stuff at the counter of the checkout because they basically finally locked the doors to the store.
Yeah.
People were going in and they couldn't pay for itself.
Well, and you're talking about the power supply. You've mentioned when you've been on before about how easy it would be not just to have an EMP, but it'd be a lot easier for somebody to just come across the border and take some pot shots at a power transformer and take it out. That'd be the simplest thing for them to do. But if we look at the long-term progression of this stuff, artificial intelligence is taking so much power. It's going to be about 10% of the capacity if they don't do anything in just a couple of years. But, of course, they are doing something. They're decreasing our capacity. And so you've got all these artificial intelligence companies that say, well, we're going to make our own miniature nuclear reactors and get them online to power our stuff. They're going to have a private grid, I think, that's going to basically hoard the energy for themselves. I don't think they're going to share that stuff with anybody. They'll use it for their AI to spy on us and to control us, but they're not going to share any of that stuff with us. And I'm also concerned about what they're going to do in terms of if these guys are running this stuff on their own. Are they going to be good neighbors and manage this stuff in a responsible and clean way? Or are they just going to be sloppy and throw this stuff out there?
I wouldn't bet on that one.
So. Where we left, Jack, I just got to tell you this story. Where we used to live in Texas, we didn't realize it, but the last year that we were there, Elon Musk started setting up operations for both the Boring Company and for SpaceX, and it wasn't very far at all from where we lived. It was only a couple of miles. I just didn't know it was there. And he got into situations where he's just dumping stuff into the river there, and they were outraged about it, and they started hitting him with fines, and he didn't care. I mean, he has so much money, he just pay the fines and keep doing it. And the same thing when it came to traffic control and other things like that. He just violate the rules and do that. So it's like, I look at these guys who have so much money, and I think these are the guys that are going to start building nuclear power plants. How are they going to respond to any violations of any safety protocols or whatever? Well, pay the fine, keep doing what we're doing, you know?
If you do get hold of, do get Musk's attention, ask him if he come and fix my solar system. I've got one of their systems. They have the worst customer service. I wrote a letter to him 3 months ago. This time it's going to go certified. I'm just getting tired of this. It costs me a lot of money. I have a paid for solar system here, and they're supposed to be maintaining this thing. But big companies, they don't care.
That's right.
They don't really
care. They don't. So, yeah.
Going back to this young kid that was the shooter, I think people are probably aware by now that he was kicked out of the rifle club in his high school because he was what one guy termed as a comical shot. So, I mean, if you can't hit the broadside of a barn when you're right next to it, you know, how are you going to do it 170 some yards away?
Yeah, he sounds like just the kind of patsy they'd be looking for when they've got somebody else there as a second shooter, doesn't it?
It's unfortunate. I feel sorry from what I read about the kid because I think he was bullied in high school until I learned to punch back. I was the same thing. It happened to me. That's a horrible disfiguration of your mental thought process when this happens to people that are forming their character. I look at these issues that happen. Huge purchases, might have been 2 weeks earlier, but purchases of shorts on Trump's stock, the Secret Service. I'm going to go through the list.
Well, I looked at that. The shorts on Trump's stock, like I said yesterday's program, I said, we had that happening with 9/11, and it was even reported widely by mainstream media, and yet nothing really happened from it. And the the people who did this came back with a response and said that the SEC filing was incorrect. Well, you know, people will be able to do their own investigation and see if it was the correct number that, you know, there's other ways to detect that besides just their paperwork. So it might be a clerical error, but even if it was for real, I don't expect anything to happen because nothing happened around 9/11. Nothing happened with the missing money at the Pentagon either, you know?
No, you'd be better off watching paint dry on your wall. It'd be a better time better spent. Mm-hmm. I'm just astounded. This whole thing will be discussed 75 years from now if we're still around on the planet, just as the JFK assassination was. That has fired a weapon at a watermelon and watches the JFK assassination to where a shot came in from the back of his head and then one went in the front, can't deny that there wasn't another shooter. I have read that it was a guy from Marseille, France, that was a professional hitman. He's dead now. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But when you got the Secret Service, like you said earlier, they're not pulling Trump off the stage. They've got him standing down. Now they say the order was given a half hour before the shooting took place.
Yeah.
But it just blows me away that anybody will buy the narrative of the government when you leave a building 170 yards away, an elevated position, totally unguarded. Blows me away. Who put the ladder against the building?
Yeah.
I didn't do it. Somebody did, though.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to get you on, because, we can look at all the details and everything, and to some extent, it doesn't matter because they're not going to do anything with it, because it's going to be like 9/11. It'll be like the JFK assassination. They won't even release documents about it for decades. The JFK assassination, that was 61 years ago. Still not releasing anything about that. And so The key thing, I think, is for us to look at how they're going to respond to this. Are they going to do something like a Patriot Act like they did after 9/11? And it's also for Patriot us to Act. Make our preparations. You know, we can't stop them from introducing a Patriot Act. We could complain about it. But it's really about our own preparation. And one of the things I like to try to explain to people is that we got to focus on our own life, preparing for ourselves, because we really don't have any control over what's going to be done in Washington.
You just hit the nail on the head. When I talk about that Patriot Act, my son was on a Marine Corps amphibious ship sailing around the middle of the Indian Ocean waiting to go into Iraq, and he is very intelligent, and he was reading about what he could read about the Patriot Act, and I ended up talking to him on the phone, and I was all flag waving all this stuff. I was proud my son is in the Marines and whatnot, but I knew there was a war coming because of people I know in the ABC agencies and whatnot. He said, "Dad, the Patriot Act." I said, "Well, Jason, I think that's good that they." He said, "It's destroyed the Constitution, Dad." That yep. was his words right there.
That's right,
and it's true.
That's right.
But going back to this stuff, long distance shooting usually have a windage flag. I don't know whether this is procedure, but they had one directly behind Trump. That's a little bit odd. That's supposed to be a protocol that they don't have anything against windage elevation, because if the wind's blowing from the right, you have to point your weapon into the wind. In other words, you have to lead the target.
Mm-hmm.
Very complex, but they had a big flag blowing there. Oh, yeah. I don't know, maybe the shooter's parents calling the police 2 hours before. Good God. I mean, yeah. You know, you're from a kid that got kicked out of the rifle club because of inappropriate comments about guns and the fact that he couldn't hit anything. How'd this guy wander across the field for 30 minutes? This is absolutely blows me away that there's any competence in the Secret Service on the ground over this type of thing. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I know one thing, these people that are in control of things right now, and I'm not talking about the Bidens, but the leftist control of things, they're not going to give up very easily.
No, no.
They're not going to let go of power.
Oh, yeah. And you look at the long-term plans of this stuff. I mean, the way that they set these dates up for the conventions versus the debates and everything. This next thing that's going to happen after they get Biden out, they're just going to be making this stuff up as they go along, you know. And we've seen that this last time because of lawfare and other things like that. They didn't have any primaries, any debates on either side. We have a true selection here. And so
You think there's going to be another an attempt on?
I'm not Trump saying life? That. I just think that when you look at what's going to happen in terms of they're going to shut down. They didn't even really pretend to have a primary, for Biden or even really for Trump. They didn't want to participate in any debates, but they're just shutting down. They're going to shut down their convention system, and they're going to just make the stuff up on the spur of the moment, how they're going to pick the person to replace Biden. And so we're going to see a lot of crazy. These people have been planning this stuff for a long time. And again, it goes back to 9/11. You look at 9/11, they 2 months before 9/11, they had their dark winter germ game simulation. They did it for 20 years. And that was really the other shoe to drop in 2020 when they ran that stuff through. They'd practiced what they were going to do. And, those two things are really connected. You talk about the Patriot Act and shutting down our Constitution, all the rest of this stuff. That was they had practiced taking it to the next step even before 9/11, and they're all tied together.
Yeah, at some point this is going to have to stop. I'm hoping that Trump gets in and does what he said he's going to do, and that's get rid of about three-fourths of these federal bureaucrats. This thing's totally out of control. When you've got billions of dollars going into churches to where they don't even have to pass the offering tray around anymore, there's something wrong when that money is coming from American taxpayers and going at God only knows how they goes by slow camel through Turkey or someplace, but eventually comes back into a church's coffers for bringing illegals in. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. What is this? This is out of control.
Yeah.
When you got so much money that you don't miss $10 billion here and another $10 billion there, I mean, why not fix Americans' teeth? Mm-hmm. What happened to the great Obamacare? What about vision? I saw a very pretty lady the other day with a tooth missing, and she was very conscious about it, broke it, I think, but it costs thousands of dollars to get a tooth. Most people don't have any dental care for this, that type of thing. And what happened to the great Obamacare that was going to take care of everybody? I don't see any of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I agree. Has it changed? Or am I living under a rock or what?
Well, you know, I've said, you know, Trump had a great plan for replacing Obamacare that somebody had written, but he didn't really talk about it when he was running in 2016, and it completely got purged off of his website as soon as he got elected. So, you know, they have these different issues. Here's what's going to happen. There's going to be, Elon Musk is going to make a lot of money off of this stuff. Because otherwise, he's not altruistic. He's not investing $180 million into this election because he's patriotic or something. He's going to get something out of it. He became the world's richest man because he knows how to deal with all these governments, not just the U.S. government, but the Chinese government. And so the real issue is going to be this competition behind the scenes. You've got different groups of people buying different groups of politicians, and that's not up front. I mean, we can look at some of these financial connections and their connections with DARPA and the military industrial complex and kind of get an idea as to who's behind which candidate. But it's that's really what's going to happen. I mean, these people are running this so-called election from the rear. And like H.L. Mencken said, it's an advanced auction of stolen goods. We've got so much money that's being dumped into the elections now because Washington is so corrupt. I mean, just look at Menendez, you know, and his gold bars. I talked about that last week when he got convicted. He's typical of what happens in Washington. He's unusual in the sense that he was so sloppy about it that he got caught.
Yep. It's just what bothers me more than anything is the progressive secrecy that government, everything is classified, everything is not for the people's eyes. You know, maybe we really haven't had a constitution since 1830 when the bankers got their fingers into things. I believe we had a lot of freedoms. I know we've had because I've been to other countries. A lot of places in the world. However, I also have been to countries relatively recently that I believe people there have more freedom than we've got here.
Yeah.
I think people are losing a perspective of what we can and can't do.
Yes.
You're starting to see some of it when you get people writing memes that are getting thrown in jail.
That's right.
That's very obvious. That's a warning to everybody. I don't know. Maybe you have somebody break down your door there and arrest David Knight for speaking his mind while you're on camera. I don't know. I might have the same thing happen. Who knows?
Yeah. We've been kicked off of pretty much everything as it is. And now you got YouTube this last week has escalated their attacks against gun channels coming after Hickok 44. 45, and but basically all of them. He's got a big channel, and so he's talking about how they're going to shut that stuff down. We have these technocrats, and I think what's difficult for people is they don't really have a handle on what these technocrats want. They try to put them into, well, are they Republicans or are they Democrats? Are they communists or are they populists or what? Yeah, no, they're none of that. They're technocrats, and it's a very different thing, and they've got a different objective about this kind of stuff. But they really have seized the levers of control over our speech, and they're in the process of seizing the levers of control over government with the massive amounts of money that they have. It truly is amazing. Had you seen that about YouTube and what they're doing in terms of shutting down all gun channels, essentially, on YouTube?
You know, I really don't care what they do as far as that goes. I don't see the gun as the absolute solution to everything. However, I do think we're going to have to see force of arms in this country to some degree to rectify with what we have. Whether that's going to happen or not, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's a necessity. You know, until we get to a Star Trek existence, using a firearm, which is the most efficient means of defense, for defense, is going to be a necessity. I measure everybody and everything on whether they believe in my individual liberties. If they mm-hmm. don't believe, if they start encroaching on them, I don't care what they call themselves, communist or capitalist or Republican or Democrat, they lose favor with me. They've got to believe in the individual right thing. That's the key to everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know, I thought it was interesting. I made the comment, you know, when we talk about the failures there in Butler, Pennsylvania, I said, just think about the fact that for several minutes, you got all the people saying, there's a guy up there on the roof and he's got a rifle and everybody's pointing at it and you can't get the police to do anything. I said, here's a situation where we've got police all over the place and you can't get them to do anything. I said, you know, how many times have we talked about the necessity of being able to protect yourself? Isn't that a great indication of it? They disarm everybody in this area except for the police and the one criminal that's there, and the police, you can't get the police to do anything about that guy.
Well, it's like the saying, the police are minutes away when seconds count, you know.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
The bottom line, whether they're there in your presence or not, if you can't defend against a deadly threat, mm-hmm. you know, then you've lost everything. Mm-hmm. If you have a society. I had a guy tell me about a 90-year-old woman who was assaulted by a guy in Romania. And the police came and they arrested him and they arrested her. And the state's position, this is under communism, the state's position was the state's the only one that can dispense of violence. So they arrested the 90-year-old lady and the assailant because everybody involved in a fight, whether you're defending yourself or what. And she was trying to keep her purse from getting snatched. And this is the lunacy of their systems. Mm-hmm. When you go to what if people think you got a tinfoil hat on your head, I can just tell people this. I sat in the in a well-known hotel in Africa sipping tea the day before I was across the border and providing security for engineers who were blowing up two transmission lines for a high voltage power line that went from one country to a country south of there. And I was sipping tea and reading the Daily Telegraph from the United Kingdom and was talking about the black anti-communist freedom fighters. And I thought to myself, that's interesting. There weren't any black guys with us. We're all white. So, you know, they created this. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, this organization that was fictional came to life, and they had funded it, and they actually became to be. Of course, you can organize an army in Africa on your Social Security benefits. You know, it doesn't take much. You know,
wow. Well, you know, one of the things takeaways I think when we look at this situation, and Congressman Corey Mills has talked a lot about this kind of stuff, and you know, you would normally do this and normally do that. It's very interesting to hear it from his perspective in terms of how they're going to secure the perimeter, how they identify the risks and things like that. But that's essentially what you're doing with your book. You're doing that for people who are not experts. You got your expert instructions there. You're talking about, well, how would you secure things around your home? What would you look for? I mean, we look at this and it's like, okay, obviously you're going to put somebody there on the roof, or you're going to have that cordoned off or something like that. But then there's a lot of other things that are not so obvious. And how do you execute these things? What do you look for? How do you plan for this? And how do you execute it? That's really what you're trying to explain to people in order to protect their home, not to protect a president or somebody like that, but just to protect your home, the common sense types of things and real practical examples of how to be able to do it on your own, right?
Yeah, well, my neighborhood group should have been providing security for Trump because we do a better job. I mean, we literally have that type of thing. People on roofs, cordoning off areas, and it's a cooperative effort. And I tell people how to do this from a military standpoint in non-military terms, mm-hmm. which is important because you get into a lot of people that are telling you how to protect this or that. They you'd think they're talking to a bunch of recruits in basic training that have been through basic training, have some idea. It has to be in layman terms. And I've got the A to Z in there. People get involved in go to civildefensemanual.com and look at what is included in this book. They'll be astounded because it virtually gives the A to Z of not only how to prepare, but how to survive if you follow what's going on in the book.
Yeah. And a key part of that is talking about how to organize things within your community. You have to be, there's issues in terms of interpersonal relationships that you address. There's also issues in terms of how this is going to appear to the government as something that they need to shut down or whatever. So you have to be wise about how you approach other individuals. You have to be wise about what you all do in terms of not drawing attention to yourself and, getting a crazy FBI coming after you, right?
Well, doing this is a daunting task, organizing your neighborhood for a defense, getting together with your neighbors, learning who's who, learning how to put this together is a daunting task. There are a lot of people in the last couple of decades that think they're conservatives and they're not. Mm-hmm. They're not, when it comes to violence, it's like there's gotten to be a feminization of American males, and there are people in your neighborhood, I guarantee you, who are not that way that will get involved with the thing. It's low key, and it's low key until the violence escalates and it becomes more overtly apparent, and it has to be. That's mm-hmm. part of your deterrent, is a visual deterrent to people that are looking to come into your neighborhood and kick your door down. Now, whatever degree you get this organized is far superior than being caught literally with your pants down and not being able to defend as a group. People can't defend individually. They think they can, but they're not going to be able to. You got to sleep sometime.
Yeah.
You need to you need to understand that if one person is got 20 people coming after him, that's a dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. So you keep those people out of your neighborhood and you deal with those people through simple military tactics. The biggest one is flanking. Flanking is to counter an enemy at a different angle than they're coming towards you from either the sides or possibly the rear. Mm-hmm. And when you do this, a small number of people can defend a large area. And there's something called economy of force. And that's this, is that one person can defend against 10 people. You do this. Always, always, the defense is the best over offense. Mm-hmm. Defense is invincible. Offense is a possibility. There's a famous Chinese military tactician that said that. Sun Tzu. You read his works. And I've got links to all this stuff. I have a lot of the information in there, the basic stuff that people need. But you have to have food and water. That's what I preach on. I don't preach tactics because there'd be a lot of skeletons with their finger around a trigger on a gun if they didn't have food or water. You just aren't going to survive. So critically important, food and water.
Yeah, yeah. And that part of it is also important in terms of your community. It's pooling resources like that, pooling skills as well. If you can, and when we see this happening, there is a gradual degradation of our infrastructure, of our power grid, of our food supply and all these other things. It's getting very vulnerable, but the quality of it is getting undependable as well. You know, we look in wintertime and summertime, everybody's wondering if the power is going to be able to persist. Why? Because these guys have been chipping away at the power supply. It's just the same way they've been chipping away at our food supply. And so there's various things like that, that things, measures that you can do by yourself, measures that you can also do with other people in your community. That's a key thing to think about that you cover in these books.
Yeah, a group is far superior. It is something called strength in numbers. And if you don't have a group and you don't have numbers, you're in a very vulnerable situation. I think one of the big things people must learn is get to know your neighbors. Mm-hmm. No matter what happens, whether you can't get your group off the ground or not, you're going to know who you can deal with. And the funny thing is that when you bring this implausibility of food or water being short, you bring it up, people start thinking, and their mind is literally a magnet to anything you read about that. And there's a, if people don't think power shortages are coming, hey, you know, you better get out and look around a little more, because there's all kinds of information coming out about it. There's a poweroutage.com. It shows what's going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
Look at what happened in Houston. Look at what just happened in Houston. Long-term power shortage that was there. I haven't covered it that much because we've had all this stuff about the shooting and politics this week. But different things like that happen all the time. And
David, this is far from over.
Yeah.
This is far from over. You're going to see shortages. You're going to see sporadic violence. Maybe people talk about a civil war. I don't see that as much. There's a possibility with certain issues happening, like a grid down. Yeah, you'd see a lot of violence. It mm-hmm. wouldn't be ideologically driven. It'd be survival driven. Mm-hmm. You know, where do I get water for my kids? You know, where do I get some food for my kids? That person is not going to care about ideology.
That's right.
And that's going to come.
Yeah.
You will see some of this at some point. When, I don't know. The question isn't when, it's are you prepared? Mm-hmm. And they need to get their head into a book like mine to get prepared. That's the bottom line. If they don't do that, they can sit there and watch their TV program at night and have a pizza and maybe drink a beer, watch the game on Sunday. But the long and short of it is it's coming down the road, and it's going to affect us.
That's right. Yeah, it's building. You know, as they're gradually taking down the power grid and creating these this fragile infrastructure, they're also bringing in tons of people. We've got one city that I talked about. They increased the population by 50%. And these are all poor Haitians who came in, individual men. What are they going to do if something happens there? How are you going to feed these people? How are you going to take care of them? So that's a lot of things are coming home to roost. And so people need to think about what they're going to do with their neighbors to try to weather disasters, whether they're natural or man-made, because we've got both of them on the horizon. It's always good talking to you, Jack. Very interesting. What a lot of experiences that you've had truly is amazing. And you have a wealth of information in the Civil Defense Manual. People can, again, see the chapters there at civildefensemanual.com on water, on some other things. There's some free chapters that'll give you an idea of what's in the book. An excellent 2-volume set of how to prepare and how to work with your neighbors to do that. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. All right, folks, before we go, I've got a comment here on Rockfin. This is from and a tip from IRS Machine Gun. Thank you very much. Says, I'll be walking around Gatlinburg this weekend trying to get away from a Trump boat rally on the lake I live on. Maybe I'll run into you. I'll buy you a dinner. Well, maybe we will run into each other. I don't know. We'll have to see. I would like to try to get away and do something. That's very kind. I appreciate that. I do go there sometimes just to walk so I can get a little bit of exercise. But I just want to leave everybody with this one thing, and that is don't get so caught up in politics. And we've talked about it a lot this week. It's kind of inescapable. That's one thing when I look back at it, I like to give people more hope and a different perspective. because if this is something you're going to lean on, as one of the kings of Israel was told, he says, if you lean on Egypt, it's going to be a cane that's going to break and pierce your hand. And that's the way it's going to be with these politicians. We've seen it happen over and over again. So make sure that you've got a foundation in your life. Make sure that you're not focused so much on what is happening in politics or in your business or whatever, that becomes the thing in your life. Keep your distance. Understand what these people are doing. That's very important as well, but keep it at arm's length. Don't make your life about it. Have a good weekend. I'm sure we're going to have something to talk about on Monday. there'll be politics. We'll try to get into some other things as they start to continually play with us in this pageant as it unflows. Thank you.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.